Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Get the new T-shirt, Joe Biden, an elderly man with poor memory. It is the slogan that defines this election. Be sure to grab a mug or a T-shirt at StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. Get 10% off your order right now. Be sure to check out the show on YouTube as well, YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Look, we need your likes, we need your comments, we need your videos. The algorithm robots love that stuff, and it's hard enough to get any conservative content out there. So we appreciate it if you take a moment and just click, follow the show. And click like right now. We appreciate it. Glenn Beck is going to be here in a minute to preview one of his biggest special episodes ever. The Senate passes the foreign aid bill. We'll tell you how much of your money is going overseas. But we're going to start by doing the tyranny of Title IX. You might have missed this because there's been so much stuff going on lately in the news, and it's been overshadowing this particular aggressive attack against women's sports and the way this is going. And I want to kind of highlight some of this for you. Let me give you first sort of the mainstream media breakdown of what is in this, because it is fascinating. Biden expands Title IX protections for pregnancy, trans people, and sexual assault victims. Now, if you don't know anything about Title IX, you probably know the basics, right? The basics are basically, hey, you know, the men's sports were getting a lot more money in these colleges, and Title IX means that they have to give the same amount of money, same amount of resources to women's sports. So you got men's basketball, you got to give the same amount of money to women's basketball. Now, look, that's questionable from a free market perspective. There are some, different things to consider in this particular case. We're not going to go into an entire review of Title IX as it's been over the past, million years. But, is it right? Like, I mean, if the college football is, bringing in tons and tons and tons of money, do you really have to have the same amount of money going towards a female sport that doesn't bring in nearly as much cash? I mean, it's questionable. But, I mean, we're all kind of used to it. It's sports. This is, okay, I've got a daughter who's going to be doing women's sports at some point. She's got a big gymnastics meet this weekend. Go Ainsley. But let's be honest about it. Sports are important. I love them. But maybe not the biggest issue in the world. What we're starting to cross now is a line that does much more than what we see in the world of sports. The new regulations officially add gender identity onto the list of protections from sex-based discrimination for the first time, though the administration has said it's already been applying this standard. Remember when we used to pass laws? Like, we would just, have a debate about things publicly, and then they would vote on it in Congress. Do you remember that antiquated idea? It wasn't like one of these things where the government, whoever was in office, was constantly changing the rules because the last person was either insane or sane, so they wanted to make it insane. Whatever the decision is, however you see these changes, this is what we do now. We just hand over all the authority to regulatory agencies, and they just kind of change stuff whenever they want. There's no debate. There's no way to hold them accountable. It's just insane. It really is. I mean, we saw massive changes that went on. We're going to go over this in a minute. From the Obama administration first, then Trump changed them back to sanity with Betsy DeVos. She was really out in front of that one. And then now you see Biden going the opposite direction. The Title IX update also now offers full protection from all sex-based harassment, broadening the definition to include sexual violence and unwelcome sex-based conduct that creates a hostile environment by limiting or denying a person's ability to participate in or benefit from a school's education program or activity. Now, obviously, I don't know if you know this, sexual violence is already illegal. Okay, you're not allowed to commit sexual violence. That's not something you're allowed to do anyway. And a lot of this is, some of the stuff that sounds okay is pretty redundant from stuff that already exists. The regulations update also enhances protections for students, employees, and applicants against discrimination based on pregnancy, childbirth, termination of pregnancy, lactation, related medical conditions, or recovery from these conditions. And you see kind of a mix here of things that might sound pretty rational, like you shouldn't be, you know, someone's pregnant, they shouldn't be discriminated against, to, you know, hey, make sure you aren't mean to someone because they've committed an abortion, obviously targeting bright red states. The final regulations, which take effect August 1st, also require increased accountability for schools promptly responding to information about misconduct based on sex discrimination, according to the Biden administration. Schools will be required to train employees about the school's obligation to address sex discrimination, as well as employees' obligations to notify or provide contact information for the Title IX coordinator, and strengthen requirements for schools conducting reliable and impartial investigation of all complaints. Oh, is that what they've been doing? Has Title IX really been involved in reliable investigations? Not my impression whatsoever, but who knows? Maybe now Biden's fixed all of this. Now, if you think all that's kind of mumbo jumbo, it's kind of coming from the mainstream media. They're seemingly doing everything they can to actually give you the truth about how the effects will come down. Our friend of the network, Riley Gaines, had some more information, kind of broke it down a little bit more clearly. And here's what it actually means. The Biden administration has just officially abolished Title IX as we knew it. Now, sex equals gender identity. In a nutshell, the new rewrite means men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Now, it's important to understand what she's talking about here. You understand what she's talking about, but in case there's someone who's just mistakenly clicked on the wrong YouTube video and normally listens to mainstream media, what she's saying, men, what she's talking about are trans men, I guess, are trans women. So men, born men, grow up as men, mediocre athletes as men, then transfer to women so they can dominate the sporting world of women's sports. Now, we've seen this happen many, many times over the past few years, but this is basically what she's talking about. Now, a university that might be looking for an advantage in sports, big dollar business, can take some dude who was, you know, dominating women's sports in high school and give them a female scholarship, meaning that the woman does not actually get the scholarship. She's left to the sidelines. She gets nothing. Also, men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms of your women, of your daughters. That sound okay? You want that? Does anybody want that? Because I know the people on the left say they want that, but do they actually want it? I would love to see this. I would love to see, you know, some of the people arguing for this get this right in their face. Right, like, really, someone decides to go in there, their daughter, in a freaking locker room, and some dude is there with his junk hanging out. I'd love to see if that opinion holds through that process. Be fascinating. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women. Students and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. Compelled speech is anti-American. Let me repeat that. Compelled speech is anti-American. This exists. If you are telling people they must say certain words, it's not as even as much as editing. You're saying, well, that word is over the line. The, you know, the N-word. You shouldn't be saying the N-word. Well, you know, shouldn't be saying the N-word. It's awful. But, of course, the First Amendment allows you to say that word if you choose to, which is not the happiest part of our society, but does exist. It is a First Amendment protection. However, to force someone to say something is not part of the First Amendment. It is not something that anyone should ever be able to do. In fact, we just had a ruling about abortion recently where, I think it was California, where they had a situation where California required pregnancy clinics to put up pro-abortion literature in their offices because they wanted to inform them on abortion and say how wonderful abortion is. Well, they lost in the Supreme Court because you can't compel speech. This is, you have to get your compelling speech. You got to call them she or whatever weird pronoun they have this week. Sure. We saw the same thing with Alec Baldwin in that video the other day. So much of this on the left is compelling speech. Say Free Palestine Now. Say it. Say it. Say it one time. Now, look, Alec Baldwin probably is on the same side as the Free Palestine Movement. He's very liberal. But he should not be forced to say any combination of words. Compelled speech is un-American. She says if the guidelines above are ignored or even questioned, then you can be charged with harassment. Very, very true, and Riley Gaines nailing it on that one. The new federal rule also bars transgender school bathroom bans. Likely isn't the final word. It's true because there's a lot of state laws that conflict with this law. Right now, there's a case in the Supreme Court. It's happening either it was today or yesterday, where they're talking about the Idaho, I think it's today, Idaho abortion law. And does it conflict with another statute that basically says the federal government says you have to be able to give medical care in emergency rooms. And they're trying to translate that into, well, if the doctor wants to give abortion care in the emergency rooms, they have to. It overwhelms the Idaho law. Now, I don't think the Supreme Court is dumb enough to let that go through, but these conflicts exist all the time, and there will be big ones with this as well. Louisiana education chief tells schools to ignore the new Title IX rules for transgender students. In a letter sent Monday to school system leaders and board members, Cade Brumley, Louisiana's superintendent of education, said the new Title IX rules likely conflict with Louisiana law, and schools should not alter policies or procedures at this time. The new regulations appear to be in direct contradiction with the 2022 state law that bars transgender student athletes from competing on sports teams consistent with their gender identity, Brumley wrote in the letter. Now, it's one thing if you have a law like Louisiana does, and this is an important point as well, because we're going down a lot of wrong roads here in our country. Louisiana has a state law. It conflicts with the national law that will get flushed out in the courts. We are now approaching a new thing, however. We saw this in Arizona with the 1864 law, where the state law actually says one thing, and all of the representatives in government are coming out and saying, don't pay attention to it. We're not going to enforce it. It's not a real law because we don't want it. That's not how our system works. How did we lose the plot on this? There's a lot of laws I don't like. If Texas was like, you know what, don't worry about it, we're not going to enforce the income tax, I would be thrilled by not having to pay the income tax. But unfortunately, that's not how our system works. And I still have to keep forking over money to this stupid government to waste in places all over the world. That's a problem. But now we're just like, oh, we're just going to start ignoring all the rules. We should make sure we stop doing that. Biden's kangaroo gender courts on the way for you. This insanity began in 2011 when the Obama administration sent a Dear Colleague letter to college administrators outlining a new process for handling sexual assault allegations on campus. Did they pass a law for this? No, they sent a letter. If the schools wanted to keep receiving federal funds, the Obama administration said they must abandon the criminal codes beyond a reasonable doubt standard when handling sex-related allegations and instead use a preponderance of the evidence standard. Kind of an important thing, particularly if you're accused of something falsely. So now your accuser doesn't have to even hit the standard. Of course, it went much farther than that. Under the new system, a woman could accuse a man of sexual assault without ever seeing the charges against him and without access to legal representation or cross-examination. Special Title IX administrators would then investigate the charges and render judgment without any chance for the accused to defend themselves. That's obviously wrong, right? Like, if you are accused of something serious like that, you have to have the ability to push back against it, to fight it, to defend yourself. They took that away from, honestly, largely minority people who were hit by these charges. You know, it's so funny. You go back and you hear, you go back in the day and you see these claims. Like, everyone wants to talk about, like, Emmett Till and all these situations from back in the day where white people accused black people wrongly of sexual crimes. And we all recognize how wrong that was. And now here we are back in the Obama administration saying, actually, guys, what we should do is let white women accuse black people of sexual assault again, and we won't even listen, allow them to defend themselves or see the evidence against them or know what the charges are against them. That's somehow an improvement in the progressive world. Progressivism always paying dividends for you. For the first time ever, the word sex under the Title IX will now include a student's professed gender identity. In other words, if a man says he is a woman, not only must the school believe him, but the school must also use its full administrative power to force all students to behave accordingly. This is wrong in so many ways. And I would love someone to poll this question. If you have a polling outfit out there, I'd love for you to ask this specific question. If a person is born a male and is a male today. And tomorrow, they just say they're a woman. What are they? What are they? What would they be in that situation? They were a male today. Tomorrow, they're going to say they are a woman. What are they? This is a question that a four-year-old could figure out. But apparently in this country, we're having a big trouble with it. And there's a million examples of this. I want to highlight this, just this one. Kangaroo Court Casualties is the headline on this particular Substack. But listen to this story. This is how this stuff plays out in real life. An Asian student, again, another minority student, found himself threatened with false rape accusations when he refused to resuscitate a past relationship with a crazy girl who broke up with him and then had a look at the dating scene, wasn't impressed, and wanted him back again. He wasn't interested, but she threatened to cry rape if he refused to see her again. Sure enough, he ended up being charged with a number of sexual assault allegations despite having phone recordings of her threats. He spent years in limbo, unable to leave the country to finish his PhD research because he was on bail. How does this stuff happen? How can we allow it to happen? It's bonkers, and everybody knows it makes absolutely no sense. Yet, the left is here to tell you that this is an improvement in our society. And look, hopefully, someone other than Joe Biden wins the presidency of the United States and this stuff gets all unwound again for another 4 years. Donald Trump would definitely do that, and that's good. However, this is a bad situation. We're bouncing back and forth. Like, hope your kids are going to school in 2025 if Trump wins and not, you know, 2029 if he loses. These things are going to continue to bite people every single day, people who are completely innocent. It makes absolutely no sense. Yet, I mean, I feel like I'm repeating myself at this point. None of this makes any sense anymore. We're going to give you another thing that doesn't make any sense. We're going to talk to Glenn Beck about his new special. It's coming up tonight, and he is on next. Go back to the pandemic. You remember what that was like. I remember ordering some, it was paper towels, and it came in 9 months later, and then it was actually just toilet paper. And it was like $60. That was the pandemic, and I should be clear. My lovely wife ordered them. But I will say, I complained like crazy and we never got the charges refund. It was a disaster. As of March, there were more than 200 drug shortages here in America, kind of replaying the crazy days of no paper towels and no toilet paper. The drug supply chain is in trouble and we're seeing way too. I told you about this the other day. I had a friend who had to go 45 minutes to pick up a prescription. 45 minutes. To go pick up a prescription. When did that start happening in America? The Jace case can help you get around this. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do is fill out a simple form online. You'll have that case there in case you need it. And, you know, there are dozens of add-on options as well. EpiPens, ivermectin, whatever you need. Jace Medical is empowering people just like you to be able to take your family's health into your own hands. Check them out today. JaceMedical.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at JaceMedical.com. J-A-S-E. Medical.com.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I'm joined once again by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is 8 steps to secure the 2024 election and one red flag. So be sure to stay tuned. So, Glenn, what are the 8 steps and the one red flag?
That's the show. That's 2020.
Right. Aren't you here to promote the show? I mean, so give us all 8 and the one red flag in order. No, I mean, it's we're on the same network. You
yeah,
can tell
sure.
Me. I will say it's been interesting trying to talk about this on radio because we know the craziness that goes around with censorship and with lawfare and all this stuff.
We still, I mean, here we're on top of the show. We right now still have attorneys working with the writers and Jason is in charge of this one, and he's pulling his hair out, what little hair he has.
Right, which isn't much.
Because they keep going back and forth. I mean, this one's coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
We just have to be careful, because lawfare is the way of the future. They will kill all of us legally. They'll just legally just run you out of business.
This is a new, somewhat new approach, right? Where the lawfare situation, where like for a long time, we remember Air America launching. This is a liberal talk radio network. Al Franken was on it, and Janine Garofalo was on it. And they tried to make this big, they tried to compete and say, hey, we can put out really good shows and
compete. It turns out they couldn't.
And it turns out they couldn't. They were completely unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. None of it worked. And they failed miserably. They've now come up with this new tactic of just trying to sue all the shows that are conservative out of existence.
Well, they're mastering it now with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll just sue you out of existence. And that is going to be the next phase for everybody, I fear. And we don't want to give them any opportunity to do that. We're not making any accusations of anything. There was a case, that a lawsuit that was presented to the Supreme Court. The details are now available, so you can see everything. We just want to make sure that all doors are closed on things. There's no accusation that this is, well, no, I shouldn't say that. There are accusations. We're not accusing anything about the past. We're not saying this, you know, through the 2020 election or 2022 or anything else. And we're not saying grandma and grandpa can do this. We're saying people with money or skills can either have this done or do this. And it's all laid out. And you'll see tonight, we have somebody who went in and actually did it. We filmed it. They did it. So it's not a theory. It can happen. And all we need is to close that door. We're not blaming anybody. We're not assigning motive for anything, nothing. We're just saying, hey, here's a door. Close that, please. Please just close that.
This is specifically not a look at the past. This is a look to the future.
We're in so much trouble. You know this, Stu. We're in so much trouble. There's nobody, either side. Biden wins. Do you think the right's going to stand for it?
They're not.
Trump wins. Do you think the left is going to stand
for
it?
I can't wait for that. I can't wait for them to all be on television taking voter fraud claims seriously after Trump wins. Like, just to watch that happen will be so amazing. They'll be saying all of the same things they've been criticizing for the past 4 years, right or wrong. They're going to all of a sudden going to change to the opposite side, and it's all going to be taken seriously by the media this time. I mean, it is infuriating, but it is coming.
I hope that doesn't. That's what tonight's show is about, to limit the ability for anyone to say that. I don't know how many people on the left feel this. I don't think very many, but I do think Democrats may feel this way. I mean, the average voter. The average voter in the rest of the country, outside of the big city, outside of the machine, you know what I mean? I think they all say, look, let's have the argument and let's vote on it. And whichever side wins, wins. I know I'm for that. I think what's happening is insanity in our country. But if I legitimately lose because the American people say, no, we don't want that. We don't want the Constitution anymore. Well, that's your decision. I'll disagree with you, but I can at least accept that my countrymen chose that. That's all I want. That's all I want.
Do you believe that can happen?
There are several things that are troublesome. And the absentee ballots or the mail-in ballots are the most troublesome after this. Because this is, when I say it's not hard to do, it takes someone
expertise.
You have to have expertise. But if you have expertise and you know what you're doing, it is simple to do. It's not simple for you and me or the average Joe, but it is simple for somebody who has the expertise and the motive to do it. That door has to be closed because there are people with that expertise and that motive and the money that may be needed to back it or just to make it all go away. There are those people, including foreign governments.
The left is very concerned about foreign governments getting involved in elections, if you believe them, from 2016.
But they also say they're very concerned about our security. And we don't have border security. We're sending money to Ukraine and to Taiwan, which is insanity, and to Israel and Hamas, just to be fair.
Right.
Because they're both equal. right. You know, they say they care about these things, but they don't really. Or you'd solve them. Tonight is a test for the American people. Do you actually care about our elections being secure? If you do, we have a way to make sure this stops. But it's all going to have to happen on the local level, all at the county level and local level.
Let's go to the $60 billion we're giving to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. The total is $95 billion over all the institutions. The TikTok ban as well, mm-hmm. kind of folded into this large, mm-hmm. large bill.
Of course, they match. You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's not exactly.
Well, except the TikTok ban was supposed to protect Americans' information from going to China, but that was conveniently taken out of the bill.
Which was, to my understanding, the point, right?
Yeah. Like, well, that and influence. They're influencing things from China, but then they're gathering all the information and sending to China. So now what apparently this bill does, I guess, is you can buy it, but you can still route the information to China. What?
I don't understand how it would work. Like it seems like China could sell TikTok to a person who is an American citizen,
mm-hmm.
or a citizen from England,
mm-hmm.
who has an affinity for the Chinese government, mm-hmm. who could then take it over, run it the exact same way, if not worse, and then send all the stuff back to China.
I don't know. You forgot one step. Could then sell the information from China and make money from China to do with whatever they want. Imagine somebody on the left buying TikTok, selling the information, so China's not only getting all the information, they're then funding whatever Mark Elias, you know, wanted to fund. I mean, I'm just using him as an example, but it's that kind of shell game that happens on the left all the time.
I really find TikTok annoying in a million different ways, outside of them, anything to do with China. I just can't stand it. So I would love to have it banned, mm-hmm. just from personal preference. But, like, is it legal for us to be passing laws against specific companies like this? I mean, is that even...
No, I think it is to pass laws against specific countries, mm-hmm. but not companies. You know, look, if you have a problem with China, we should have a problem with all of China, okay? If you have a problem with Iran... We don't have some companies that can do business from Iran and other ones that don't.
Right,
you know,
right.
We're like, no, you are funding the... Well, I was to say, we used to say, no, nothing for you because you're funding terrorism and you're trying to destroy the West. When, you know, death to America, you don't get anything. Now we say, oh, well, you get some. So this, I guess, is consistent. But I think this is really dangerous. I mean... Look at what's happening with X, with Elon Musk. Have you been following what's going on in Australia with X?
Not in Australia. Brazil, I've been following that.
Okay, so Brazil. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know about that one. Now in Australia, there was a priest, some bishop, and I think he's like Greek Orthodox maybe, very outspoken about the, you know, global cabal that is trying to take away people's freedoms and rights. He was very outspoken on COVID. Well, my understanding is a Muslim went in and tried to stab him to death. Okay. There's a video of it. X was told, take the video down because it's causing tensions between the Muslims and everybody else. Okay.
Oh,
well, yeah,
okay.
It was being stabbed.
Yeah.
You know,
stabbings will do that.
Stabbings
will create tension.
Yes.
That's one thing they will do.
And so they're saying, you know, for security and you're making all Muslims look bad. No, I'm just playing the video. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what he was doing.
One Muslim did.
Right. And he's saying, I'm not going to take it down. Well, people in the parliament have been speaking out now against him. The prime minister came out and said, this is absolutely abhorrent and he needs to be stopped. This company needs to be destroyed under his management. He has way too much power. Excuse me? This, I don't like any government gaining any more power to shut anyone down.
Yeah.
They have enough, and they seem to be grabbing more and more every day at a breathtaking pace.
Right. That seems to be my default. Like, you know, the TikTok ban, I can understand arguments for it. There are some good ones. But at the end of the day, I don't want government having more power. Let me go back to Ukraine real quick before we go. I think we're in a really interesting point of the conservative movement.
Hang on. Before you go into that, let me just say something. Huh. You know, you said, I don't want any more power for the government to take away stuff. You know, if you say Germany, which we did, Germany, you can't have business from America anymore. Do you know what Fanta is?
It's orange soda. It's okay. Pretty delicious.
Do you know the history of it?
Not really.
So the United States government said Coca-Cola, one of the number one, I think it was the number one drink, but it definitely top two or three in Germany, was Coca-Cola. And they continued their relationship with the Nazis, okay? And they were selling a lot of product. And Coca-Cola became known for being so American, the United States government said, no more. Well, Coca-Cola...
The U.S. government said
The U.S. government said,
we will not, you can't sell it
you
in
You cannot sell it
Germany.
Anymore, okay?
Kind of like what happened with Russia when all that happened. All the companies were so basically told to leave.
Coca-Cola has the Coca-Cola bottlers. They were all in Germany. Okay, the trucks, the bottling company, everything else. So Coca-Cola called the Germans and said, called all the bottlers, what do you have? What ingredients can you grab? Okay, and Coca-Cola came up with the formula of Fanta to be able to sell it to the Germans because they couldn't let their bottling factory fall apart.
Really? I didn't know
yes.
this.
That was Coca-Cola uniting with the Nazis. That became the drink in Germany under Nazi rule.
I did not know that. Am I a bad person for enjoying Fanta?
No. Okay. All right. But they'll find a way to do it.
Right. No, that's true. Okay, last one here. The conservative movement, I think, is in an interesting position right now. You talked about Ukraine passionately on the air today. You also have a couple of close friends, Tucker Carlson, Mark Levin, who have totally different opinions on this. Mm-hmm. And I think you're kind of a third flavor of this right now when it comes to Ukraine funding. Mark is in favor of it. Obviously, Tucker very skeptical on it. You are also skeptical on it, but I think for different reasons and maybe a different formula of solution than Tucker. But like these are three, you know, people, very, very smart, big parts of the conservative movement over the past 20 years disagree on this. Can the conservative movement hang together with all these different worlds?
As long as we have the Constitution in common. The only split that I am afraid of in the conservative movement is the one that is calling now for civil war and extra constitutional powers. Mm-hmm. I'm not for that. And I can't stand by that, and I won't stand by that. If that's what the conservatives want, that's what the conservatives will get, and I want no part of it. The problem is we have violated the Constitution. So for you to say we need extra constitutional powers now, no. Would you give extra constitutional powers to the other side? No, you don't get them either. A return to the Constitution as written is the solution. So we can disagree on funding and everything else, but that's why I asked Tucker about it. Constitution, Constitution, Constitution. Yes, okay. No other powers. Mark Levin, I love him because he's a constitutional guy. Mm-hmm. So as long as we have that in common, and we do, I'm fine. But the people who are calling for an end of the Constitution or extra constitutional powers, or anything like that, or civil war. Civil war.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. That is the end of the republic. And you think, well, we'll put it back together. United States of America, I believe, was one of the only countries that ever put it back together. And it still left scars. Okay? We don't have enough in common anymore to put it back together. You have no idea. The world will pick sides. If you want to break up and say, we're just going to be in red, what countries do you think are going to support you? What countries are going to do business with you? You stop everything. You stop everything. Mm. It becomes Haiti. No, thank you.
Mm. All right, Glenn Beck, the new special is coming up tonight. I think you might be able to trust Haiti's voting systems more than ours at times. 9 p.m. Eastern tonight is 8 Steps to Secure the 2024 Election and One Red Flag. Be sure to stay tuned. And as always, watch on Blaze TV, blazetv.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu. Is this free tonight?
This is free. It was 90 minutes because we were going to put some of the stuff in the back half, mm-hmm. Because we knew it couldn't go on YouTube, mm-hmm. And we knew we would get dinged there. But we decided it's too important. Just open it up for everybody for free on Blaze TV. So it's free for 24 hours, hoping that people. And tomorrow radio, we're also going deeper into it, into the solutions.
All right. Don't miss it. It's tonight. It's right after the show. You can use the promo code Stu. You'll save $20 at blazetv.com/Stu. Glenn, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
So, no surprise, the Senate passed the Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, TikTok ban, funding, Hamas embrace bill that passed the House earlier. This goes now through the Senate. It's through. Biden obviously going to sign it as well. He's been in favor for a long time, $95 billion. It gives $61 billion toward the war in Ukraine, $15 billion for Israel, $9 billion for Gaza. And then a bunch to Taiwan and a bunch of other stuff. No surprise there. You might think, well, wow, this will give Ukraine some weapons maybe they can use in their war against Russia. I just want to just include this little side note. The United States last week secretly shipped a new long-range missile system to Ukraine. Now, you might say, first of all, secretly, how do you know it, Stu? Well, the New York Times has the story, among many others. The Ukrainian forces immediately used the weapons to attack a Russian military airfield in Crimea last Wednesday and Russian troops in the country's southeast overnight on Tuesday. So we were told they had no weapons left. We were secretly shipping them new weapon systems that will reach far into Russia, not just Crimea, but into Russia as well. They used them right away. The only way they were able to do this, and I'm sure Russia noticed, was us giving them these weapons. And then we just tell the New York Times that that's what happened. Could the brilliance ever stop? It really is. If we can avoid World War III here, this will be a freaking miracle. Please, Lord God, help us. Got about two more minutes here. I got a few more stories I want to get to. The Congress also has the TikTok ban that is in this particular bill. And, the TikTok ban, we've talked about it. It's one of those issues that I can understand some of the arguments for it. I can understand some of the arguments against it. I hesitate to ever give government more power over business in this country because they seem to always misuse it, though I hate TikTok. Honestly, China's secondary to me. I hate it because I hate the dancing and the lip syncing.
That's number one for me. That's why it should be banned. Shockingly, though, Joe Biden, the just man of character he is going to remain with his campaign on TikTok as they attempt to ban it or force its sale. And of course, none of this will happen until after the 2024 election. So he doesn't have to pay for any repercussions from that. Obviously, the Biden administration also yesterday, he's really been busy lately, banning non-compete agreements. He's setting up his, this is all trying to buy people off, of course, setting up a legal showdown with business groups. Now, non-compete agreements are something I'm very used to. If you're in this industry, radio, television, you deal with them every time you sign a contract. You're constantly having non-competes. Non-competes are freaking annoying. Like if you get blown out from your job, you have to wait 3 to 6 months, depending on, you know, what the time length is. And it applies to people in media all the time. I can't tell you how many non-competes I've signed in my life. That being said, it's also now being applied to just regular people. Like I have a friend who works at like a salon, and they made them not sign a non-compete so they couldn't work at another salon anywhere in like a 120-mile radius. That stuff would never hold up in court anyway. Biden doing this, of course, I think generally speaking is the result is a good move. And I'm being careful the way I say that because I just told you what happened to freaking passing laws. This would be a popular measure. Pass a freaking law if you want it to happen. Well, the Republicans will block it, then I can't get it passed. Then you don't get it. That's how our government and society works. By the way, another thing that Biden will not get, he's now called for a 44.6% capital gains rate. Now, this will be the highest, by the way, since 1922 when capital gains came in. If you don't know what capital gains tax is, to just give you a quick reminder, it's money that you get because you earned it and you get taxed on it, and then you invest it and you make money on the investment and you get taxed again on the same money that you then got an investment gain on. Since 1922. Don't think it's going to happen, but this is the vision of America that Biden wants. Go to the polls in 2024 with that knowledge. When you absolutely positively have to buy or sell a home, let's say they're implementing a 44.6% capital gains rate, and you're like, I'm going somewhere else. You will need to sell that home here in America, and Real Estate Agents I Trust is on your side. You know, I always say, wherever you are in the country, Real Estate Agents I Trust can help you out. Glenn pointed out today, you know what, maybe they don't have an agent in your area, which is kind of a weird thing to admit when you're the business owner. Like, I don't know, maybe we can't help you. But the reason why is if we haven't found the right agent, this is what Glenn was saying, we haven't found the right agent in your area, we might not have anybody for you. Because they're not going to just let anyone in just because they want to have someone everywhere. They want to be very careful with this. They want to have the best agents in this system so you're not going to be disappointed. So these agents can help you have the best experience whether you're buying or selling a home almost everywhere you're going in the country. The name kind of says it all, realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a free service to you, realestateagentsitrust.com. We here at Stu Does America have to issue a pre-cancellation alert. This one to Homeland star David Harewood. He is an actor who has made some controversial comments. He said, "We are at this strange point in the profession where people go, oh, you can't play that role because you're not disabled, or you can't play that role because you're not really from there. The name of the game is acting." Yeah, that's used to be really obvious to people, but apparently it is no longer obvious. He says, yes, we've got to be representative, but I do think we have to be careful. That even extends to Othello in blackface. I say, if you want to black up, have at it. It better be effing good or else you're going to get laughed off the stage, but knock yourself out. Anybody should be able to do anything. Sure. Like, yeah. Now, he's played, as a black man, played several white people, such as William F. Buckley, in different plays and such that he's participated in. Again, you might say that's not a great choice for a particular role. Like, I don't know, like, especially when you're talking about historical figures. Generally speaking, my vibe is, like, you should set someone that looks like them. doesn't have to be exactly them, doesn't have to have to be from the same nation of origin or have every single attribute, but like try to keep it so you can kind of stay in the moment a little bit. But still, like, I don't have any problem. If you want to try it, maybe people will like it. People seem to like Hamilton quite a bit. And it wasn't exactly historically accurate. Acting is acting. He recognizes that, David Harewood. But, of course, that will eventually cost him his career. We often talk about horses on the highway. And this is kind of an example of it. It's kind of things that you don't normally see and becoming more common these days. And there you see horses running through the streets of London just on a random rampage going in very... By the way, one of them just covered in blood as if he ran through a blood donation clinic. Like, I don't know how much blood one horse can have on it. But apparently these were military horses out for like an exercise, got spooked by some construction equipment nearby and just took off, five of them through the city, one of them white and covered in blood. So just totally normal day here in the world.